and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. This is our third Wednesday of the month workshop meeting, which means we have no fixed agenda. We work on items that are need follow-up. And we have a couple of things to follow up on, and then we will entertain observations from our attendees. The first item we have is Resolution 31-2018, and this is regarding, for consideration and adoption, the Town of Catskill Planning Board has a vacancy due to the death of Harry Sacco. And whereas Teresa Golden has expressed an interest to serve on the Planning Board for the Town of Catskill, and the Planning Board has recommended her appointment, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby appoint Teresa Golden to the Planning Board effective immediately with a term ending in December 31st of 2020. I need a motion.
Motion.
Everyone's a motion. Yay, Teresa, yay. Motion from Patrick and a second from Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion is carried. Teresa, thank you so much. We appreciate your service.
It's going to be like a little city down there. All right? So from 2003, I got some things that the Town of Catskill has done. And the existing conditions, I'm only going to talk about Brooks Lane because that's the pipe. I'm talking about the water feed to that area of the country club. Okay? And so on Brooks Lane, the existing condition, similar to Leeds, this area is served by the village's 16-inch transmission main running along Route 23. Side streets and neighborhoods are served by a series of 4-inch, 6-inch, and 8-inch cast iron ductile iron mains branching into transmission from to the different streets. It doesn't say exactly in this report what Brooks Lane has, but however, it does say this, that one hydrant flow test was conducted on Brooks Lane. On Brooks Lane, it was a static pressure of 69 pounds. And when they ran it, the residual pressure drops to 15 pounds. At that fire hydrant, it's down
by the country club, right?
Yes. Yep. Okay, so, and that's a flow rate of 250 gallons per minute. And that's a very important number because this area has several locations where substandard, this is the terminology that was given to Catskill in 2003. Substandard facilities are cause for concern. This includes, and on Brooks Lane, the hydrant test performed in Brooks Lane exhibited a pressure drop from 69 to 15. That was far greater than would normally be expected for the test flow rate of 200 gallons per minute. The village reports that this portion of the line is about 45 years old, so now it's 60 years old, and is not a cement line. It is most likely that this line has become partially blocked by corrosion products and probably cannot provide a fire flow of 750 gallons per minute is what it needs to be. And they're only doing 250 and it's down to 15 pounds. That's a dangerous situation as it is in 2003. We've had more homes in there since 2003 and they're already saying it's no good back then. So in 15 years, we've taxed that system even more. Okay? And the New York State DOH minimum guideline is 20 pounds per PSI, and we're down at 15, only 250. Okay, this very large pressure drop indicates that cleaning of the line is probably not feasible. Okay, so then after that, and we know that's a problem because when Burke and Ed Coon's house burned down, the fire department couldn't get enough water pressure. They barely could use that fire hydrant. Okay? And that's before this little mini city was put in that they're trying to put in. Alright? So the recommended improvements on this report, and that's really where it gets interesting, Recommended improvements for this area consist of replacement of existing lines that are substandard as discussed earlier. Now, Brooks Lane, they want to put in an 8-inch line for 1,300 feet, okay? So that tells me it's not an 8-inch line now, even though it didn't specify that. And the cost in 2003 was going to be $203,000 to do a line. That's got to be more now because it's 15 years later. Sure. It's probably closer to $250,000 now, okay? So that's an unsafe thing. The water you needed for the area in 2003 was unsafe. Now it's even worse. It hasn't been done in the past 15 years since this study was made. There were no pipes changed. There's no water. So it's still the same piping. And will it be done now if they put this city in? This is something the town board has to think about, because who's going to pay that $250,000 to put in a new line? I don't think LLC is going to.
No, and are you done?
Taxpayers will have to pay
that. Are you done, or?
Just will it be done, and who will pay for it? That's my question, me personally, to make it safe. They put in 86 apartments.
Yep. So during the whole process, when that part comes up in the planning board review, the village of Catskill will be notified to review this and answer those questions. Oh, okay. I thought you had something to say. So we don't have anything to do with that water line there. That belongs to the village of Catskill.
Does. It's outside the village.
Right.
We're not in the village.
Right.
But it belongs to the village?
Yes.
Okay. We don't know, as a group here,
yep,
how involved and detailed you guys are with any of these decisions. But we know we have to make our voices heard. That's why we came here tonight.
So absolutely.
You guys hear it too. Because mm-hmm. we don't know who to turn to about this. Oh, this is getting rammed down our throats. It's happening. They're trying to get that zoning changed, and once that happens, the floodgates are open. Who knows what will happen?
Well, I don't know what decision the zoning board is going to make. I haven't talked to any other members about this. But just be aware, if the zoning board decides to do this and grant whatever they're asking, there's nothing the town board can do about it. Once the zoning board makes a decision, that's legal. The town board can't change it.
Then who, as a board, can you tell us who we have to see next? Because the zoning board, Gary Harvey, he was like the spokesperson for them. He said, that doesn't mean it's a done deal. You can still go, and he told us to come to this meeting.
Oh, right. Well, even if they change the zoning, we can't change the zoning. Then it has to go back to the planning board.
Then we would have to go to planning board meetings?
Yes, you would attend the planning board meetings, yep.
Okay, but we could attend those?
Yeah, they're public meetings.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So does it help us letting you guys know, give you the paperwork we have for the we tried to come up with a list of things that are our concerns.
Yep.
Can you give that copy yeah. that to you?
I have one for each.
Any facts and figures we have tonight isn't really, this isn't the forum we presented all in like I just did.
Yeah, I think probably what would be helpful is, and because Patrick's had presence on both the zoning and the planning boards of the village, correct?
Yep.
From a process perspective, can you take these folks from the moment the owners of Catskill Golf Club he purchased this, whoever the owners are, they've made a purchase of that property. They have made a decision that they would like to do some additional investment that involves the initiative that they've put forth.
Right, and their project doesn't fall, and Elliot and Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, their proposed project doesn't fall within the zone that it currently is. That's why either one of these two gentlemen, either the planning board or Elliot, kicked them to the zoning board. So now it's in the zoning board's privy to make a decision whether they want to rezone it to fit this project or not. Once that happens, depending on which way they go, then the zoning board will send it back to the planning board. If the zoning board denies it, it's denied. They can't reapply for 3 years. The rezoning.
Yeah, you have... the applicant came to the zoning board with the plans for the project. The project is actually in two zones. It's in a rural agricultural zone, and it is in a residential zone. It's actually split. The project is actually split in two zones. The reason that they're at the zoning board is because that's initially where they wanted to start the project. They wanted, and my understanding is they wanted to build two apartment buildings just at the bottom of, as you go down Brooks Lane, just as you go into the country club, on the right-hand side is the parking lot. Well, they use it as a parking lot. They initially wanted to start their project with two apartment buildings there. And then as the project grew, they would build, if they could, the other areas. That area is the area where they went to get a zoning variance because they needed a use variance because that is a that is not a permitted, it's not a permitted use in that zone. So that's the section that is now before the zoning board. The other part of the project, which is about, if you looked at the country club and the golf course and you kind of cut it in half towards the clubhouse, there's a big portion of that which is zoned residential, I'm sorry, rural agricultural. They do not need to go to the zoning board to start that project. They would just come to the planning board for a site plan approval, and that part of the project could come before the planning board whenever they decide to. They haven't formally come to the planning board because of this use permit they wanted to get from the zoning board. If the zoning board doesn't grant them a use permit, then that section of their project, that section that is in that residential area or residential zone, probably won't happen. The area that's in the rural agricultural, they could redesign the project and move it into the rural agricultural area, and then that would be a site plan that would then come to the planning board for its review. The reconfiguration, how that would work out, I don't know. I know that eventually they wanted to put apartment houses along the backside of what is now the ninth hole, which is up on the hill there, and then that's basically where the majority of the apartments were going to be situated. So right now, I believe they're waiting to see what happens at the zoning board. Once that happens, once the zoning board makes the decision, they're going to have to go back and take a look at their plans, and at that point in time, they'll come to the planning board for a site plan review. But that hasn't happened yet.
And at the site plan review, some of the questions that are listed on this document, such as one road, traffic issues, Blind Hill, that's where those issues can come to the fore.
That's where those issues would be addressed.
Exactly. Okay. So the only thing I want to ask is just in terms of the sewer, one of the comments that was made was the very low water pressure in the Brooks Lane area. Was there anything done in the sewer in terms of the water on Brooks Lane? I just want to make sure I've got the full picture.
Not in terms of water.
Okay, all right.
We did take provisions to add a stub across the street from our pump station for if that piece ever gets built up on the hill, that they have a place to connect to.
Okay.
That was the only change that we made to the sewer project to accommodate.
I just wanted to be as complete as we can in this discussion so that everybody has all the information that you need.
And I came in late to this, but...
This is Travis Smigel with Delaware Engineering. Travis is our point on the sewer project, and I just wanted to make sure that whatever work was done out there, that it didn't if it had anything tangentially to do with this discussion, that you were here.
And in regards to water, through that process, what we would typically do as a review engineer is also look at those water impacts as well, fire flows, what it's going to do, pressures to systems. So the planning board will most likely look at those as well at that time if it doesn't happen prior to it.
Okay.
Travis?
Yep.
I'm James Lurley at 44.
We've met.
James goes, yes, we have.
And we've met. Hi.
And certainly appreciate your professional work.
Sure.
The question I would have is, who paid for that installation?
Of what?
The water?
The golf course has 5 hookups right now, and the pump station was put down across the street from the golf course.
Sure.
In the non-zoned area.
So the pump station was put on the golf course's property because it's a low point in the project. You know, sewer flows downhill, gravity, that's a low point in the project. They were agreeable to put a pump station on that property. Any of the laterals that they had going to any of the septic systems that they had on site were required to give them a spot to be able to hook up to that. So they had multiple systems in there, and we added stubs to the line for those to be able to connect to. The connection for those was done by the owners of the property themselves to be able to connect up to that. We just provide the connection point.
The original plan had the pump house up on top of the hill. It wasn't down at the country club, and now where it is, the zone, the water zone, is on the west side of Brooks Lane. You look at any line, you have a line going down the east side of Brooks Lane. It's not in the zone.
The final project documents that were put out for the contract for that pump station has not moved. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what you were looking at for documents, anything preliminary to that point. But when we bid the project, that we cited it at that point. So that station itself did not move.
That's got us all worried because all the site maps and everything that we saw before the project showed it up on the ground. And then all of a sudden it got blown down like they're trying to
accommodate this. You know, we were looking at one point, we were looking on James Place. And it was still on the golf course's property, and we were going to have them pump to a pump station. We were looking at other different properties that we could use. When we site them, we looked at the end of James Place down.
About halfway down the hill.
We looked at the back past your house, Mr. Lernahan, down over the hill down there. We were looking down there to be able to make gravity into it. When we do our preliminary layouts, we're looking at a lot of different options. But that made the most sense that we could eliminate as many pumps as we could to put it down at the golf course. So in our preliminary layouts, yes, we had it at a couple different spots on James Place. Okay. Yep.
Who approved the hookups there for the projected apartments?
There.
Usually you have a lot, a building lot, right? It's actual lot.
So
they put it, it's commonplace to put one hookup in. But there's no lots. This was in anticipation of all these apartments. Actually, in a non-sewer district, they have one. What do they put? For those 3 buildings, approximately 120 people.
So the property itself is in a sewer district.
They approached you on that, right? That's what they said. This was
the duplex. Yeah, we talked with them early on when they were looking at some of their layout stuff, and they knew that the sewer project was going on, and that's one of the good things that they're looking at to be able to hook into a sewer system.
Yeah, he said, you might as well get something out of it.
The only change that we made during construction is across the street, directly across the street from the pump station. We added an 8-inch gravity line and put a structure across the street so that if that ever gets built, they have an avenue to be able to connect into and don't have to go across the street and tap into the pump station directly. We didn't want that to happen. So we ran a line across the width of the roadway and put a structure in, but that was the only provisions that were made as part of the sewer project.
That was an anticipation of in the rural area where they're allowed to...
That was an anticipation of that project getting built, yes.
But not in the part that needs a zone change right now, correct?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with zoning at all. We just knew that there was a piece that was going to get built there. We didn't get into any of the zoning with those folks.
But it was on the hill in the back.
Correct.
Not the one that you're referring to. Not the one that is the subject of discussion tonight.
Yeah. Right. Their first phase is the one in the parking lot.
So we're going to need the
variance.
Yes.
No, this was in anticipation to the apartments up on the
But there's some in anticipation right now as soon as you go over the hill and go down, there's a parking lot there. If you go on the right, there's a green stake there, and there's hookups there. And that is in the very question you were talking about here tonight.
I don't know if any stubs were put in at that point.
They got four with a green spray painted top on it, right in there. In anticipation of those buildings going in there.
I'd have to look at it myself, I'm not sure. We have structures that go down the road through that, there's manhole structures. Yeah. I don't know if there was a lateral put in at that point for anything to be built in that parking lot area. That I'm not sure of, and I'd have to look into it.
There's a great mistake there.
There's no discussion. I don't remember a discussion about that. I remember the discussion on the hill. Right. That was the only one that we had that I'm aware of.
So, Travis, just so I'm clear about this, I'm not understanding your answer. The hookups past the golf club on that hill, right, on the left as you're going down that road, were they part of the sewer project or an add-on?
The add-on piece, so as you come down the hill, the buildings from the golf course are on your left, the pump station is on your right by the tennis courts. We went from the structure that's at the pump station across the road to the side that the building is on and put a structure there for those apartments up on the hill, if those ever get built, to be able to tie into. And that was an add-on to the project.
That was an add-on to the project. Correct. And at the zoning board meeting, no one on the zoning board, no one in this room except Mr. Bickler knew about that. So the question is, who approved it if it wasn't part of the... It's a simple question. Who approved it and who paid for it?
We did, and it was part of the project. There was a discussion that we had with the board. We gave the contractor directive to do that. You know, if we come into different situations on different properties and we need to make changes as part of the project, that's within the authority of the town board and of the engineer to make those types of changes to the project.
So the town board approved these hookups, even though I'm just asking.
It's not a hookup.
Even though they were not part of the project.
It's not a hookup.
It's a mainline sewer.
Did it cost money?
Sure.
How much?
Anything costs money.
How much? Earlier you said Mr. Victor paid for it. He did not take the liberty to say he paid for it.
Nobody
knew who paid for it.
He smirked and laughed.
What's the width of that road?
20
feet? $1,000. $1,500 when you had the structure.
And it was to avoid, if I understand what Travis said, it was avoid if something were to happen that it was going to have to come
all the way to the station. Two things to avoid. One is, we don't want them tapping in directly to our pump station. We don't want another contractor coming in after the fact and doing that. So we gave them an option to be able to connect into it at a different point. Second piece of that is, coming up this year, we're going to pave the road, and we don't want to rip the road back up again. So in anticipation of that as well, we want to get across the other way.
It didn't signify approval. No. It signified a little bit of strategic planning. So if you look at this board, this is the fifth board that's been working on this sewer project. So some of the materials that you had seen where you thought potentially it was in the zone or out of the zone, those dialogues have taken place. Literally, I'm supervisor number five. So some of these things have evolved over time. But there was no anticipation of, other than, let's not do this in a way that we would have to go back in it. But it didn't signify approval.
So the road will be paved when?
I'm sorry?
The road will be paved when?
This year.
So if the report that was read earlier about the water is true and the line is defective, and we'll just assume for the moment that it is, at some point down the road, that whole road will then have to be dug up yet again to replace the water system.
Yeah, any utilities that get replaced moving forward after that would damage the road.
And it will be a patchwork quilt at that time because you won't repave the whole road. You'll just patch it in.
Most likely, yeah.
Great.
And a lot of times, it's more of a rarity that full roads get paved with projects.
I understand. But yes,
you're correct.
We have there's going to be a three-year moratorium with Central Hudson, too, isn't it? Central Hudson won't be able to dig that road up again for, you agree, 3 years?
I wasn't aware of that.
I haven't had that conversation.
I thought we agreed something last time.
No,
we were
I asked Sean.
We asked them if we could.
We told them 3 years, I thought.
Yeah, but that's not solidified yet.
Travis, in your opinion, does the sewer project as it stands right now, is it is adequate to handle another 86, 96, I've heard two different numbers, essentially houses. They're 1,600 square feet. They're not condos, they're houses. Is the sewer project adequate to handle that as it stands right now?
That would be for the village to answer.
Well, I can speak on that individual pump station that those would be going into. Those pump stations will handle, they may run more frequent, they'll cycle on more, and they're also built that if down the road we do need to upgrade, we can upgrade the pumps. So you're not building a whole new facility, you're replacing a pump that will have an increased flow.
But as far as the additional waste, that would be for the village to answer.
They
can handle it at the plant.
Yes, the village treatment plant is oversized for the sewer flow that it's seeing. Even after all the flow that we give to it from doing our project, it's still going to be oversized, so it's got capacity.
It's about 47 years old, is that correct?
I don't know what the age of it is, but I think it was, if my numbers are right, it was running like half the capacity. Of
that's the number I remember, was at 50%?
Yeah. It's got a lot of room.
Thank you.
Yep.
How many units per apartment? Flow units? What's the unit? 750 gallons a day or something like that, right? Per lot, per house?
It depends
on your calculation rates, flow rates.
It depends on what on fixtures too. There's some other variables in there.
Yeah, say regular.
Yeah,
household.
Yeah,
12 square feet.
Ballpark.
Usually it's based on the number of bedrooms, three bedrooms. You only 150 gallons per day per bedroom in the septic system, right?
For
but you go by units, because that's basically it was a list to put out, right? And that was about 750 gallons per day on your flow rate projected going into that.
I'm not familiar with the what they're putting in there and what kind of flows they're going to. I don't know how many units and any of the information that goes along with the facility itself.
I don't look at tagging on that per use per part, apartments, right?
Yeah.
On the side of Scotty's park, right? Ultimately, end up as apartments. But the units, yeah, I was wondering, because 1996, I believe, on the whole project, completion. So that's quite a bit.
There's 68 houses from Brooks Lane down. There's about 68 houses right now. So essentially, we're going to double that and then some. And all the issues are legitimate issues. I can't imagine the traffic going down that road with another 100 houses, because they're not going to be a playing stay. There's no 1,500 square foot unit is a playing stay.
And again,
these aren't hotels.
Those are type of siting issues that your planning board will address.
All these issues that we thought we needed to bring up to you guys tonight, we don't need to. We got rid of the planning board.
No, but
it doesn't
bringing these up to, yes.
No, but it's,
this is good for us to have.
It's absolutely educational for us. The other thing is the last discussion that was held was that the vision of this was a stay and play. Now, I understand we can debate square footage, we can debate vision. And now I'm done.
His other volunteer job calls.
Oh, oops. So that clearly will be a discussion not only with the planning board, but also obviously with our code officer. But you have brought a significant amount of information to us. You've also expressed, as constituents of our community, your opposition.
I just like to make one comment.
Sure.
I think we all felt after going to the zoning board meeting that Mr. Bickler is—he's showing us he's inconsiderate, not considering the neighborhood. Some of the questions. One person asked him because they want to put the first phase along the back of the houses on James Place, right behind, 25 feet from them.
He said it's four houses.
Four houses in phase one is what he's. Three and possibly four in phase one, and they're right behind the houses, two stories, and we have only one story zoning. And one neighbor said, well, can't you move, start down by the clubhouse? That makes more sense. Why would you ruin this side of the neighborhood? And his aunt, she said, he said it would cost too much money. And she said, well, so that means you're willing to make us take the loss, and you won't. He said, yeah.
Because of the property value.
We're going to lose the property value, we're going to lose, you know, the privacy in their homes, the enjoyment of their homes with strangers looking in, coming in and out of the parking lot right below, you know, their property. And his attitude was, you know, so what? And that's partly why we're here. We're a little bit, just a heads up what we're headed for. You know, we're upset about it.
My biggest concern for me, because I'm past the country club, I'm down through the country club, we're on the other side, the wrong side of the club. That's what we always say. But down there, what concerns me, and I think it's on our list, is the traffic. Because sometimes when they have a tournament going on right now, I come home from work, I can barely fit my car through there. It's a one-lane road. And they park up and down that road, he's taking out all the parking lots. He's going to take out the parking lots and put parking by those condominiums, or wherever you want to call them. And where are they going to park when there's a tournament and there's 96 cars there? That's just saying if there's only one car per place. There could be two cars per place. There could be 180 cars there. Where is everyone going to park? Where's a fire truck going to go when it comes down? Where's an ambulance going to go? My father-in-law is in his 80s. My next-door neighbor, Uncle Jackson, he's in his 80s. Down the hill.
Huh? 90s.
It's not uncommon for an ambulance to have to come down there. I could probably, half a dozen times in the past 6 months, there's been ambulances down there to take care of my relatives. And if they can't get through because of parking, that's my biggest concern. The water's a concern to me, too. But I'm not on the system. I'm out of that zone. I'm not on it. But I wanted to bring it up to you so you guys know the scope of this. This impacts our neighborhood up in Jefferson by the country club and the surrounding area hard. It's a heavy hit for us. And we don't want it. Not one. I don't think one person in here will tell you, I live there and I want this to happen. It's a bad thing. It's a hardship for us, and it's only going to get the fight is going to get nasty. It's going to get nasty because Vickler doesn't care. He's just out about making a buck, and I'm sure the good old boys club that's backing him, they all want their money too. That's how it is, and it's not right. And we just want you guys to know, and believe me, we'll be at that planning board.
Well, go to the zoning board meeting when they reopen the public hearing.
They told us to definitely come back to that. You know, some of our questions will be answered, and did they say they would make a decision at the next one? I'm not even sure.
No, they said they wouldn't make any decision till the next one. So
right.
They have to close. Yeah. They have to close the public hearing before they can make a decision.
And then they have X amount of days after they close a public hearing to render a decision, 65 or 63 days.
Mm-hmm. And does that include going to the planning board process?
No.
No, that's a separate.
Then if whatever decisions they make, then it'll start a whole new process with the planning board. And the planning board also could hold public hearings. That's up to them.
It will be public hearings.
I just want to take the time to thank Travis and to thank you for listening to us.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It's extremely important. And, you know, we don't want to fall on deaf ears.
Well, and you know, editorial comment here, obviously, if you're coming into a community and you're trying to build something of this import, developing a neighborly interaction would be something that one would encourage. I hope tonight what we've done is helped you understand what the process is.
Thank
Councilman here, because he was the one that said, let's make sure everybody understands the process.
Because it gets confusing. It does.
It does. And
this board for this, that board for that, and it's, a lot of people don't know the flow. So this could all end with the zoning board.
Well.
Or it could get back to the planning board, and then it starts a whole other process. There's going to be plenty of opportunity for everyone to have their voices heard.
And the challenge in this environment, and we're dealing with it in a couple of places in our community, is, you know, the bottom fell out of every market there was in terms of investment in 2007. And frankly, we took a very, very significant hit in the Northeast. We're now faced with a situation where the good news is that things have begun to pick up. The challenging part of that is how do we incorporate that in our community to help spread the tax base off your shoulders, but not do it in a way that impedes your quality of life and the expectations you have for your community. So that's the challenge here, and we get it, all right? There's a couple of things that are coming in here that I think hopefully, if they ever come to fruition, that will help take the bottom off it. Exit 21 is a classic example. We get a hotel in there, and there's a lot of other people paying for the water in the sewer.
I wanted to ask you guys that. None of us, if you ask anybody in here, you get a different answer about the plans for Up by the 21.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in that area, is there going to be a hotel? Do you guys know? Is that in the plan?
Where, so it's not part of the town, other than that it's in our town, and,
uh-huh.
and our code officer and all of the boards that we just discussed tonight will be part of it. But the county and the IDA were in discussions and purchased two separate parcels, right? One is what we all know as the Carl property. The other piece is the Quality Inn. Quality Inn is the area where there is great hope that we have a grant to take it down so that we don't have to pay any money to have it destroyed, and that there are hotel chains lined up that want to go in there because we're the only exit on the thruway, think about it, all the way up to Lake George, that doesn't have anybody there. Our goal is to get one in there so that if you're in a business environment where your company will reimburse you for an overnight stay and you have to come to our area, that you don't end up having to stay in Kingston.
Correct.
We have people coming to visit to our community here at, in the board that want to come and talk to us, and they end up having to stay in Kingston overnight.
See, but that was my point. Nobody seems to know. But it
hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, I know it hasn't gotten there yet, but at least now you've let us know that. That is still a plan that
right.
we want to try and pursue. And get a,
right.
You've got hotel chains that want to come in there.
They
it's
do.
It's a matter of working out the details to make it happen.
Correct.
It could possibly happen. That being said, if they put in a brand new big hotel there, why is he? How does he think he's going to fill up 96 apartments when there's a hotel that's going to be half the cost right up the street? He'd be better off just buying a shuttle bus. I'm not kidding. Look what Colossians. Colossians does it every day. They have a shuttle bus. They take people everywhere. So you get one for the country club. Stay and play. We'll pick you up in the morning, bring you back at lunch, and bring you back at night. It'd be a fraction of the cost, and we'd all be happy. I don't get the thinking. But at least we know now that it is in the plan. Hopefully we'll get a hotel in that. Either way, that'll be a great thing for Catskill.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
One more thing. Stay and play on a golf course in this part of the country is only good for a certain amount of time every year. You know, it's not going to work in the winter. So.
The seasonability of it is
yeah.
a challenge, right? Yeah. You know, we've all, those of us that have been in business have all done business plans, right? And you go, you know, 5 years, I always used to say a business plan is a 5-year plan, and then they make you redo it every year. So the things like what would happen if something happened at exit 21, your issue around seasonability, those are all questions that are very valid. Could you translate it into a place where you could ski and come back? I don't know. But your voices have been heard, and your solidarity is admirable to see this many people in the room, unless there's another issue that we haven't gotten to tonight and there's someone hiding. Oh!
Of all the boards that you've mentioned tonight, whose board would be under the regulation to allow or not allow a possible Section 8 in those apartments?
Section 8 meaning...
Low income housing.
The project as we see it now, as
it's been described
before the planning board, is not a Section 8 housing.
But if the planning stay failed, they would either have to be regular apartments or low income housing. So whose board of the three you've mentioned is regulating that? Your board, planning board, zoning board, who regulates?
Section 8 is a federal housing.
You can't discriminate in real estate.
Section 8 is a federal housing project. But I would think that if that's a federal project, then it would go through the normal site plan review before the planning board. And all the factors that you have mentioned now would also be a factor then. The question would be, if it's federal, are they exempt from zoning laws I know the state is exempt from zoning laws, the county is exempt from zoning laws, and the town is exempt from zoning laws. So those all would be a question as to what type of housing we would put in there. But right now, I do not think that that's part of the project. That's not even close to being considered.
Mr. Vittler said right to us in the zoning board meeting, we specifically asked about the renting. He said, well, right now it'll be weekend, monthly. And we all, several people said, okay, that's fine for now. That's what you're planning. That's what you're proposing to Catskill, the town of Catskill. We get that. But 2 years from now, if it falls through and it doesn't work, then who are you renting to? He goes, well, you don't really have, nobody can tell me who I can and can't rent to. I'll just rent to whoever I can rent to.
I'm going to send it over to Elliot, our code enforcement officer.
The use variance that he's before the zoning board, that variance will be a specific use. So if he gets a use variance for a resort, then he won't be able to use it for apartments without getting another use variance.
So to answer this gentleman's question, who would that be that if you apply to do that, and then when we have to voice our opinion, if this all goes through,
zoning, right?
Well, no. After it's all approved and 2 years down the road he wants to change it, you go to the code enforcement department.
Okay.
Well, he'd come propose a project to me, I'd send them to the zoning board like I did this time for another use variance because, well, let me rephrase that. I believe multifamily dwellings is a special use in both of those districts, okay? Resort was not a special use or permitted use in one of those districts. That's what caused me to send them to the zoning board for a use variance. If the multifamily dwellings are listed as a special use in both districts, it won't need a use variance. He'll just have to go to the planning board for a special use permit. Okay. So if he changes course from the resort that he got his use variance for, he'll have to go back to the planning board for a new special use permit for one specific use.
Hopefully we don't get that far.
Jim.
Another concern we have is, would the golf course remain, or would it turn into a cancer, and all of these buildings just continue to go right down the golf course proper, so that he can bring in maximum profit?
His dialogue with me was that he wanted the golf course to be a part of this venture.
The problem is that he owns the golf course now, and he has done absolutely nothing to improve it.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant, the swimming pool, the entire area, he has minimal investment.
You know, I think it's reached a stage, whether it's development, to someone's observation, whether there's, you know, this is a private business. I can only speculate on what that might mean. But I can tell you that he verbalized to me that the golf course was part of the vision.
I appreciate that.
And there was a hand over here. Yes. Hi, I'm sorry.
One of the things that Mr. Bickler said was that he received a grant from New York State to build a resort, right? And I'm sure everybody else agrees that the resort is not his true intentions here. It's to build, you know, residential housing there. So what's going to happen with that money? That
he may have applied for a grant, but those are published.
He received it, and he was questioned as to...
As far as I know, nothing's been
done.
Those are a matter of public record.
No,
but I mean, but there's none on there. I would know if something, if money came into Catskill, trust us, we'd know.
I don't know if it goes straight to his bank account.
It'd still be on that website, and I'd be looking for it.
But even if he did get this grant,
if he did get it for the resort,
then he's locked into whatever he applied
next
for.
Year, his resort fails. Now he has all this money, and we bankrolled his.
No, that money is only for one intended use.
Yeah, he can only use that money for whatever he applied for.
I mean, because bottom line is, he's in the real estate business. He's not in the golf business, and his partner is in the real estate business.
Mm-hmm.
The golf is just a front to ram a bunch of condominiums down the throats that nobody wants. I mean, that's just, you know, the bottom line. And he even said about the placement. along parallel with James Place. He basically came out and said, that's the cheapest way for me to do it. So if you don't have the money to do it right, why do it at all? You know, are we going to build them with formaldehyde sheetrock so in 5 years they're falling apart and you can't get them away? Because they're falling down and they're disgusting? I mean, I know it has nothing to do with you guys.
It's just all our concerns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
Thank
yes.
you for your patience.
Absolutely.
Yes, I just wondering if at any point, if there's any way any of the boards could actually make a site visit so they can really see what our community, our street is like, which is our neighbors, and then look to see exactly where they want to do this. It's awful.
Wow.
It's awful.
Every member of the planning board is a resident of the town of Catskill, and every member of the planning board already knows the site, has been up to the site. We visually know exactly where he potentially would like to put the apartments or residence, and I know the area very well. So we would make a site visit just to see where they would go. Well, you have to remember that, as you said, Mr. Bippler is a businessman. The object, obviously, is to run a business. If that property happens to not make money, there is always that potential of that property being sold. If that property is sold, then you're maybe looking at more than a lot of houses. The potential always is that there could be a residential home area in that whole part of the golf course, and that is something that obviously is maybe a long way down, may never happen. But again, you're looking at a prime piece of real estate for housing projects. And there's always that potential that could happen. And that property is zoned for residential homes. There is no special use from it. It would still have to go through the whole process that you're talking about. It would still have to go through, all the questions that you have. But that is a potential for that piece of property.
Well, we actually feel on James Place, on our the side where he's planning it, that he's almost doing it deliberately to force us to want to sell the houses just so we don't have to deal with it.
Because
if everyone on that part of James Place, across from me, if they sold, that's perfect. He would just buy that up. That would be the top layer level for parking. And he would have the housing right below it.
They already went around offering people money for their lots.
I have no knowledge of his business plan, but we'll look at the, if it comes to us, we'll look at it as it is presented to us, and you all are certainly welcome and very welcome to come to our board. You'll have access to all the plans and all the engineering studies, and you can ask as many questions as you like.
And the public hearings are posted on, as part of the process, should there be public hearings, they're posted on the website? And they're posted in the Daily Mail.
But we're not even close.
But we're not anywhere near there. But just so you understand how to stay abreast of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Joe, do you expect this to be on the agenda for the next planning board meeting?
No.
You don't?
No. It won't be on our agenda until the
zoning board makes their decision.
Issues their
variance
decision. And then, if the decision is no, and they have to, they would have to go back and redevelop their business model to see what they can do with the section, that rural agricultural zone, where they may be able to build houses along that section. But that's down at the lower end of the golf course. That's down by the beginning of the ninth hole and the end of the eighth hole. That section in there is where it's zoned resident rural agricultural. It is, there are no areas up around James Place or in that area that that he could build on without that use permit.
See, I understood the lot across from Pat Leach's house. I understood that that was not high density as well.
No, that whole area along James Place, along the first hole, and back towards the middle of the second, well, it's now the 18th hole, that's all in the residential, and that's where he needs to have that use permit. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Can I just say one thing? I just kind of popped in my head, because I'm sort of leery that this is really a stay and play and a resort. Because I've been to, timeshare resorts, and from the plan that's presented here, these are all two-bedroom units that are 1,500 square feet. Now, any other resort I've been to, usually you have a studio, you have a one-bedroom, you know, there's variety so that you can offer, whether it's a couple or a family, that opportunity. To me, that is really a model for a resort. And if you're only having two-bedroom spaces, which I think that the price is going to be higher, and it's not really going to appeal to across the board, people. So I'm kind of doubting that this is really valid. I feel like they're really looking down, like, let's present this, we'll eliminate two holes, and then we'll move on to the other plan in the zoning. I guess I'm not really confident that this is, their intentions are kind of honorable.
Well, the three golf courses that we use as a comparison, or a model, if you will, for this proposed project, I was online today, trust me, there's no 1,500 square foot stay in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a room,
right,
with efficiency, with a little fridge.
Yes.
If you want to get real fancy and you want to throw money around, you might be able to get something worth the pull-out couch and you can sleep six people.
Mm-hmm.
That said, Mr. Bickler, I mean, he was honest in saying that the golf course is failing, although we all know that's why he bought it, was failing. And at some point, if I own that beautiful property, as Joe said, to be honest with you, if they could get past the other issues with traffic and water and all these other issues, I personally wouldn't have a problem with it being private homes down there. Not even if I didn't have a site, I think it would be nice. I think they could bring value as opposed to depreciate the value by being apartment houses. But at some point, 96 apartment houses, I'm not so sure I'd want to run a golf course. I'd leave the rest of them open. And there's a lot of overhead in running a golf course. And I'm not surprised it's failing. But I see that as a huge apartment complex at some point. That's what I see.
So, again, we can't speculate on business plans. If everyone has pretty much gotten everything out on the table that they would like, thank you on behalf of all of us for the education, because this is obviously close and you're aware, and we appreciate you keeping us informed. We have a very experienced zoning, planning, and code officer here. And I'm not going to say call them if you have questions, because that would be unkind. So I'll say call me if you have questions. No, and I'll say do that.
Call me anytime.
Call you anytime. Actually, you can call any of us anytime. We'll be happy to help, all of us. Patrick's got a lot of experience here based on his planning and zoning experience on the village. I'm glad, Travis, that you were able to kind of update everybody as to the, and as I said, it is the fifth go-around on the sewer, so there is new information, and anytime you want additional information, Travis is our point on that, and he'll be happy to answer any questions. We thank you for taking the time. This is what good government is about. You have your people come out, and they talk to you about what's important to them, so I want to thank you all for that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Any other items in the back of the room anywhere? Are we good? All right, I am going to ask for a motion to go into executive session on two personnel issues, and then we will not be coming back into public session, so I'll ask for a motion. We do need Liz for this, yes. So I'll ask for a motion to go into executive session.
Motion.
Motion from Jared, second from Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Otherwise, I will adjourn the public session of the meeting, and I thank you again all for your attendance. Thank you.
Thank you so much.